The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker, hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns, motherfucker, hook 'em horns. Hell yeah, what a great fucking weekend of football I had, at least, because my Texas Longhorns dominated the shit out of Alabama, and my Dallas Cowboys dominated the shit out of the New York Giants. And it was just a fucking fantastic weekend of football. We will get into both of those games here pretty soon. But man, the dominance of my two football teams over the weekend. Oh, it was just great. It was so great to watch. I hope the rest of the season is like that. But let's get right into week one of football. We had some weird games, of course, because it is week one. Of course, some of these wins are fugazi wins from teams who are most certainly not going to be contenders in the long run. But then we also have fugazi losses where good teams who could potentially go on some type of run right after this loss and end up in the playoffs or even in the Super Bowl. That always happens week one. We always overreact to certain things. But let's go ahead and get started with the first matchup, which was one of the most boring matchups, of course, of the weekend, and I anticipated it to be, which was the Arizona Cardinals at the Washington Commanders. The Commanders ended up getting the win 20-16. It was a back and forth game, and it was a close game as well, which was very shocking because the Cardinals, of course, there's no Kyler Murray starting at quarterback for the time being due to his injury. So they ended up starting Josh Dobbs at quarterback, who had a whopping 132 yards on the day. So obviously not a major game from him. And then turning over to the Commander side of the ball, Sam Howell, he's their starting quarterback on the season. And he actually had a pretty solid day. He went for 202 yards and a touchdown. But overall, it was just a pretty quiet game from both teams. Like I said, it was back and forth, and I think it was really only back and forth because it was two shitty teams playing each other. So you have that, but the Washington Commanders got their first win under their new ownership. Then we had the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons, which started off as a close game, but then the second half rolled around and the Falcons just ran away with this one. The Falcons ended up getting the win 24-10. You could definitely see some growing pains from the rookie Bryce Young, the Carolina Panthers' first overall pick. He did have a pretty decent day. He threw for 146 yards and a touchdown, but he did have a couple of big interceptions, which really cost the team in the long run. And then the Falcons just really got it done on the ground. They had Bijan Robinson. He had this beautiful touchdown where he just juked dude out of the way, and he had a good game. Really, Allgaier was the running back of the choice for the day. He had 15 attempts with 75 yards and two touchdowns. Kyle Pitts also had a couple of receptions for 44 yards. And it was a pretty sloppy day from both teams. I will say the Carolina Panthers defense looks really freaking good. So if there's any silver lining to what their loss was yesterday, they at least had their defense look pretty good. But, you know, Bryce Young didn't look terrible, but he looked like a rookie. And like I said, he threw a couple of interceptions that really cost them some field position and potential points on the board. It was a pretty typical Panthers-Falcons game. Then the next matchup we had in the morning was the Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. This actually ended up being quite the shocking ass-whooping from the Browns. They killed it. They killed the Bengals 24-3. Now, it kind of looks like that it was mostly the Bengals shooting themselves in the foot. If you'll recall earlier in the week, Joe Burrow actually ended up signing the highest contract in the history of the league. And in an ironic twist of fate, Joe Burrow ended up having his worst game of his career. He threw for 82 yards. Yeah, dude didn't even throw for over 100 yards. It was a bad, bad day for Joe Burrow. But I will say, with the Bengals, if you'll recall, last season, he had to have the appendectomy right before training camp, so he basically missed all of training camp last year, and then the Bengals started the season off slow and then got it going, so that could potentially be what we have here, where, you know, he missed the majority of training camp because he had the calf injury. He basically just now started practicing this past week, so it could just be that. But the Browns defense really stepped it up, and they had Joe Burrow on his ass all day long. Deshaun Watson, this was basically his first real off season with the Browns. He had 154 yards and a touchdown, so he didn't really light anybody up. Nick Chubb had a pretty solid game, 18 attempts and 106 yards. So the Browns had a pretty solid game, but, overall, I really think it was just more the Bengals did not show up at all for this one. But, hey, Browns got the big win against the, Cincinnati Bengals. Then the Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens went as expected. In my opinion, the Ravens stomped the Texans 25-9. It really wasn't it was a high scoring affair, but it was mostly just defense, as usual for the, Ravens, unfortunately too, their running back is, he's going to be out for the season, and it's just unfortunate for him because he's out again, and J.K. Dobbins, he just it kind of feels like the last three seasons he's suffered these really horrific injuries, and then he tore his Achilles yesterday, and his season is over, and it just kind of seems like that's the theme of his career. But lucky for the Ravens, they actually do have a pretty deep roster at running back, and then of course you have Lamar Jackson who can run as well. But, I mean, offensively, it wasn't really that big of a day for the Ravens. It was just mostly their defense had a really solid day. And then, of course, I can't recall which one of their cornerbacks suffered an injury yesterday, but it looks like they have a pretty significant injury in the secondary that happened. So the Ravens have been this has kind of been their theme the last few seasons, is where they start the season off with a shit ton of injuries. They usually tend to overcome them, but we'll see what happens. But they did get the big win over the Texans yesterday, who really didn't have much going on at all offensively. Then moving on to the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts actually put up a pretty good fight. I expected this to be a runaway from the Jaguars, and it actually was a pretty close game for the most part. The Jaguars did start to run away with it in the fourth quarter. They did get the win 31-21, but Anthony Richardson definitely seems to be the future of the Indianapolis Colts. At the quarterback position, he had 223 yards and a touchdown through the air, but also on the ground, he rushed for 10 attempts for 40 yards and a touchdown, so he had a really solid game. Michael Pittman, the receiver, also had a solid game, 8 receptions, 97 yards and a touchdown. But the Jaguars, they just looked really good offensively. 241 yards and 2 touchdowns from Trevor Lawrence. Travis Etienne, he had a solid game, 18 attempts, 77 yards and a touchdown. And then Calvin Ridley, coming off of his suspension last year, he has had 8 receptions, 101 yards, and a touchdown on the day for the Jaguars. So what I thought was going to be a runaway, because I really didn't have any high expectations for the Indianapolis Colts this season, looks like they actually have officially found their future quarterback, at least for the time being. The Jaguars aren't a chump team. At least this season they aren't, or at least none of us are expecting them to be a chump team. And the Colts actually put up a really good fight, and they played really well against the Jaguars. Jaguars still got the win, but look out for the Colts to maybe get a few upset wins this season if they keep playing that way. Then moving on to the San Francisco 49ers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The 49ers had one of the most complete games yesterday all around from their team. They ended up getting the win 30-7. So that just goes to show you. I mean, Like I was saying on Friday's show, I kind of feel like the Steelers are going to be one of the worst teams in the league offensively. I don't see what they have going on offensively, and that showed yesterday. Granted, they went up against one of the best defenses in the league. The 49ers actually had 5 sacks and 2 interceptions against the Steelers yesterday. And I mean, Najee Harris only had 31 yards on the ground, so the Steelers need a lot more from him. But Brock Purdy, you know, is coming off of this elbow injury in the offseason. Well, he threw some darts yesterday, and he looks like he has recovered just fine. He passed for 220 yards and 2 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey had 152 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And then Brandon Ayuk was the receiver of the day for the 49ers. He had 129 yards and 2 of those touchdowns from Brock Purdy. Like I said, the San Francisco 49ers picked up right where they left off last season. They look to be one of the most complete teams overall with their offense, their defense, and they have a lot of weapons. So we'll see what we've got from the 49ers, but they were most certainly one of the most dominating teams yesterday. Then one of the biggest surprises, at least in my opinion yesterday, now it was week one, so anything can happen, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were at the Minnesota Vikings, and the Buccaneers eked out a big win, 20-17. It looked like, you know, the Vikings started off pretty hot, and they looked like they were going to kind of run away with the game, and then all of a sudden, they just laid an egg in the second half. Kirk Cousins, he did stack the stat line as he does, but he did not get the win line. He had 344 yards through the air and 2 touchdowns, and then Justin Jefferson had 150 receiving yards, but overall, this Vikings offense went quiet during the second half. Baker Mayfield made his debut as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback with 173 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then Mike Evans was on the receiving end of one of those touchdowns. He had 66 yards and a touchdown. But big surprise win from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right there against the Minnesota Vikings. And that's not how the Vikings want to start the season off. But that is how the Vikings started that season off. Then moving on to the Tennessee Titans versus the New Orleans Saints. This actually ended up being one of the closest games of the day. The Saints ended up getting this very close win over the Titans 16-15. It was Derek Carr's debut as the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. He had 305 yards and a touchdown. It was also Jamal Williams' debut. He had 45 yards on the ground. And then Chris Olave, I feel like this guy is going to be one of the top receivers in the league this year. He had 112 yards receiving yesterday. But really, the Saints, they weren't as explosive as I expected them to be on offense, but it is just week one, and they still kind of got they still have to get their bearings about them. But you got to give it up to the Titans for actually putting on a game. But they just weren't really able to get it going offensively. They were pretty quiet overall, and they really just couldn't finish drives. And the Saints defense just really were able to lock it down when they needed to, and they got the big win at home. Then we had the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears. And, you know, while Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, he had this slogan that he said last year to the Chicago Bears, where he said to one of the fans after he scored a touchdown, "I own you." Well, it looks like Aaron Rodgers has passed on that loan to Jordan Love. And Jordan Love's debut as the Green Bay Packers starting quarterback turned out to be a really excellent debut for him. The Green Bay Packers got a big win against Chicago, 38-20. Jordan Love went for 245 yards and 3 touchdowns on the day. Aaron Jones had 41 yards rushing and a touchdown. And then he also had 86 yards receiving and a touchdown. So it was just a blowout from the Packers. I mean, really, the only reason why the Bears got 20 points is just because they kind of got some garbage points in the end. Justin Fields had 216 yards through the air and a touchdown, and then 59 yards rushing. And then Mooney had 53 yards and a touchdown. But this was a very shocking game from the Bears, and both the Bears and Packers, in my opinion, because I expected the Bears to run away with this one, or at least have a good game. And it wasn't close at all. The Packers dominated basically from the kickoff, and they just never let up. And now the Jordan Love era has started off with some ownage on the Bears, and the Bears don't like that because I feel like they felt like once Aaron Rodgers was traded away that we're finally going to get a clean slate here with the Packers, and no, the Packers still own your motherfucking asses, at least as of late. Then we had the Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. Big win by the Rams. They won 30-13. And, I mean, their defense really just took over this game as well. There was actually one point where Aaron Donald was coming after Geno Smith. And Geno Smith doesn't expect it. And he even says, because he was mic'd up, "Oh, my God!" And then gets rid of the ball real quick. So that's what it's like with Aaron Donald coming at your ass. I mean, it was a big day defensively from the Rams, but they also had a pretty solid day offensively as well. Matthew Stafford had 334 yards through the air, and Williams had a good day on the ground, 52 yards and two touchdowns, and Nacua had 10 receptions and 119 yards, and those are both rookies for the Rams, so good pickups there for the Rams. And it was actually a really bad day from the Seahawks. Now, their first half wasn't too bad, but, I mean, the second half rolled around, and the Rams just ran away with that one. And their defense just really stepped it up. And like I said, a lot of people weren't really expecting the Rams to be anything this year. I think a lot of people were overlooking the Rams, whereas I feel like the Rams are definitely going to be a competitive team this year. I don't know if I think they're going to be a Super Bowl-bound team, but I definitely think they're going to shake some things up. And I think a lot of people were kind of looking at the Cooper Kupp injury as a huge setback, which I'm sure at some point it is going to be a setback. But, you know, they came into the season knowing this is what it was with him. And so they've basically been able to plan and practice without Kupp. And I feel like that's actually been an advantage for Matthew Stafford to build up a new rep with all these new guys. And so far, against a division opponent in a really difficult place to win, they were able to walk away with a big win. And then we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Denver Broncos, and the Raiders got a big win, 17-16 over the Broncos in Denver. Man, Garoppolo had a beautiful debut for the Raiders. He had 200 yards and two touchdowns. And Jacoby Myers was on the receiving end of a couple of those touchdowns. He had 81 yards and two touchdowns. Russell Wilson didn't have a terrible game either. He had 177 yards and two touchdowns. But just overall, man, the Raiders just were able to put together a solid drive there towards the end and just sneak out that win there in Denver. And who knows if that's going to end up being a big deal for the Broncos, because I think a lot of people were expecting a huge turnaround because of Sean Payton as their coach, which I expect a turnaround, but I still expect growing pains and bumps in the road. And also, this is a division opponent, so division opponents are always a big deal. And this is a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm sure he had a lot to prove coming into this game, and it just was one of those big wins for the Raiders. So a great start for Jimmy G and the Raiders. Then we had probably the game of the day, the Miami Dolphins at the Los Angeles Chargers. This was a back and forth affair. I mean, it was like boom, score, boom, score, boom, score. I mean, anytime one of these teams took the lead, it was just back and forth all the way until the very end of this game, in which the Dolphins would walk away with the win 36-34. Tua Tagovailoa had 466 yards and three touchdowns on the day. And this dude was throwing darts, mostly to Tyreek Hill, who just was fucking fantastic yesterday himself with 11 receptions, 215 yards and two touchdowns. So those guys just blew it open. Raheem Mostert had 37 yards and a touchdown as well. Justin Herbert had 228 yards and a touchdown. Austin Eckler had 117 yards and a touchdown on the ground. So it was just back and forth. But I got to say, in typical Chargers fashion, they really blew it. There was this one play where J.C. Jackson, their top cornerback, who's a shutdown guy who should not be getting blown up the way he did yesterday, had this terrible pass interference call where he just straight up pushes the wide receiver in the back and onto the ground. And it's like, that's a grade school pass interference. That ain't one of those ticky-tacky bullshit pass interference calls. That's a fucking straight up, always been a pass interference call. I don't know what the hell that was, but it set up the Dolphins in perfect position to score. So he basically screwed over the Chargers, but that's what the Chargers do. They always shoot themselves in the foot. So that's not a good way to start off the season for the Chargers, but it is a good way for the Dolphins to start the season off. And like I said, that was for sure the game of the day, because it was just back and forth like crazy all the way until the end of the game. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles at the New England Patriots. The Eagles just eked out a win over the Patriots, 25-20. It actually started off looking like it was going to be just the comedy of errors from the New England Patriots. I mean, Mac Jones started off the game with a couple of interceptions. Then Zeke Elliott, this is his first time in a Patriots uniform, and I'm glad he saved his fumbleitis for the Patriots, because last year when he was with the Cowboys, didn't fumble once. He actually wasn't really known for fumbling, so that's actually kind of what Zeke's known for, is not being a fumbler. Well, on not the first drive, but I think it was the second drive, he ended up fumbling the ball. And so basically, the Eagles were set up real easily with 16 points right off the bat because of all these terrible mistakes from the New England Patriots, and they just looked awful. But then they started to get it going in the second half. And I kind of feel like if they didn't have all of those terrible mistakes to start, the Patriots actually probably could have walked away with the win on this one. Mac Jones actually, once he got it going, didn't have a terrible game, had 316 yards and 3 touchdowns through the air. And the Eagles offense looked pretty bad. Their defense really stepped it up, played really well, and got them this win. But offensively, the Eagles looked pretty stagnant. Jalen Hurts didn't have a bad game. He had 170 yards and a touchdown. A.J. Brown had 79 yards. But overall, it was a pretty quiet game offensively for the Eagles. And like I said, if the Patriots hadn't shot themselves in the foot with all those turnovers in the first half, we might be looking at a different result for this one. But the Eagles did get the big win over the New England Patriots in this one. And then the Sunday night football game. Oh, God, I loved this game just because I cannot believe this is how the Cowboys started the season off. The Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. I don't know if the Giants were aware, but there was a game last night. The Cowboys murdered the Giants 40-0. And this was not no fluke, little bullshit win. This was what you call straight up domination. The Dallas Cowboys looked so fucking good, and it was so great. I was not used to this. Like, the way this game started and just all the things that were going in Dallas's favor, I'm like, holy shit, it's usually the opposite. But it wasn't. And I mean, it was just beautiful. In every single facet of the game, the Cowboys looked amazing. Defensively, this team ain't nothing to fuck with. You motherfuckers think this defense is gonna fall apart? Uh-uh. We are so deep on this defensive line. And this secondary is so shut down. Y'all don't even know. Y'all don't even know how much this Dallas defense is going to fuck y'all up. Y'all got a little preview of it last night because those Giants couldn't even score one fucking point. The best part, too. First drive for the Giants. It's looking real good for them. And they get in field goal position. And what happens? Cowboys block that field goal, run it back for a touchdown. Then we get an interception ran back for a touchdown. I mean, this Cowboys defense had 2 interceptions, 1 fumble, 7 sacks, 1 interception return for a fumble, and a blocked field goal for a touchdown. This defense ain't nothing to fuck with. We had Daniel Jones on his ass all night. And then offensively, we didn't have to do a whole lot. We just walked right out there, took care of business, and did what we had to do. Dak Prescott didn't need to throw the ball all over. Tony Pollard had a solid night, 70 yards, 2 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb had 77 yards. The only thing that bothered me were the couple of dropped passes from the tight ends there. But other than that, the Dallas Cowboys had a perfect game. I mean, it was beautiful. So I really feel bad for you haters, because I hope you enjoyed all of these last, what, 20, 30 freaking years of us sucking ass, because I predicted they were going to win the Super Bowl this year, and I don't look stupid right off the bat. Man, oh man, my Cowboys look fucking good, and I'm super excited about the rest of the season, because that Dallas Cowboys defense ain't nothing to fuck with. Even the Wu-Tang Clan knows that, because I bet you they're New York Giants fans, and they got to see that shit right up close and personal. Huh. Huh. Oh, yes. Now let's get into the Monday Night Football matchup tonight. We've got the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. Of course, it is Aaron Rodgers' debut as a New York Jet. Right now, the Buffalo Bills are a 2.5-point favorite. I do have the Buffalo Bills winning a close one, 28-27. I do think this is going to be a close one, though. I do think Aaron Rodgers elevates this Jets team to the upper echelon. I think they needed him 100% because this is a difficult division, especially with what the Dolphins did yesterday. So we'll see what these two division teams, these two division matchups got against each other. But I think it's just going to be a close one. But I do think the Bills will eke it out tonight. I would not be surprised to see the Jets win in Aaron Rodgers' debut. But either way, I think it's going to be a close one. And I've got Buffalo walking away with the win. Now let's move on to the weekend that was of college football. It was mostly a bunch of ass kickings in the top 25, but we had two excellent matchups this weekend. Let's start it off with my Texas Longhorns. The eyes of Texas are upon you, and this is fucking great. The Texas Longhorns dominated the Alabama Crimson Tide 34-24 in Alabama. And it was close at first, but the Longhorns had the lead from the jump. And the difference with the Longhorns this year, you know, offensively, we've been able to make some noise. We've been making some, we do have issues offensively, but overall scoring and, you know, that's not really an issue. The issue has been the Texas Longhorns defense. This Longhorns defense hasn't been able to tackle me in years. They've just been so terrible. Well, not this year. That is the difference. And they made all of the difference on Saturday night. We had this Alabama quarterback running for his life. He was on his ass. He couldn't make any plays. The Longhorns defense only had two blown plays. That's really the only reason why Alabama was able to score 14 points, or else they wouldn't have this would not have been close. But this Texas defense ain't nothing to fuck with either. They had two interceptions and five sacks on the night. But Quinn Ewers, got to give it up to this dude. He had a solid night as well, 24 for 38, 349 yards and three touchdowns. But what I loved most about this game is it just was unquestionable. The Longhorns dominated from start to finish, and this was a good win for them. This was probably, I can't remember such a good win from the Longhorns, probably the Colt McCoy years when we lost the national championship to Alabama that season. That was the last time I feel like the Longhorns were a legit team, where we got some good wins and just had a good season. This win against Alabama, this was the first time where, like, I was so hyped up and so enthralled and so excited about this game. And, you know, the Longhorns, it's only week two. And it's only one win on the season. So, of course, they have to keep winning. They have to keep doing this. You know, we still have Oklahoma coming up next month. And then we'll see where we're at. But I'm loving what I'm seeing from this Texas defense. And it just was such a great win. And like I said, such a fun weekend for me personally, just to see the Texas Longhorns kick ass on Saturday night, and then to see my Dallas Cowboys kick ass the following night. Woo! Loved me some football this weekend. But then the next game I want to talk about in college football, and we talked about him last week, and that is motherfucking Deion Sanders is still doing that damn thing. Nobody expected Colorado to do what they did this week against Nebraska. As a matter of fact, everybody was thinking Nebraska, it was going to be a close game. Nebraska's going to get this win. Nah. Deion Sanders and company kicked Nebraska's ass 36-14. And that, get used to the name, Shedeur Sanders. This guy is a bad motherfucker at quarterback. He went 31 for 42, 393 yards, two touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown, and my favorite part of the rushing touchdown, paid homage to his dad and did the old Deion Sanders high step celebration. Loved every second of it. And I watched this game too, because Deion Sanders is really, really making this Colorado team extremely watchable, because they are not a fluke team either. They are defensively, nobody's really, we're talking about his son, of course, at quarterback, because he's just doing some crazy things at quarterback. But defensively, this Colorado team ain't nothing to fuck with. That's what the theme of this show is so far. Defense ain't nothing to fuck with. Because we got some great defense this weekend, and Colorado took it to Nebraska, had some nice turnovers, but Deion Sanders turning around this Colorado team, and they are something to watch, finally. Moving on to UFC 293, we actually had a huge upset in UFC over the weekend. Sean Strickland, in a unanimous decision, beat the crap out of Israel Adesanya. All I gotta say about this fight was, I mean, congratulations to Sean Strickland right off the bat. I mean, he deserved this fight, he earned that fight, and he deserved that championship. But what the fuck was that from Israel Adesanya? That was the worst showing from him I've ever seen in his career. He looked like he didn't even practice for this matchup. It was like he felt like he could just walk right in and absolutely dominate. And I mean, it felt like he barely got any punches in on Sean Strickland. It was, I mean, Strickland, to start, it was so boring. I could barely even stand this matchup between the two of them. And then Strickland finally started to get some real nice, solid punches in on Adesanya. But overall, UFC 293 was an absolute snooze fest. Especially from Adesanya. That was an extreme disappointment from, I mean, this guy, like I was saying on Friday's show, this guy is, like, considered legendary status, and that was just an absolute piece of shit showing from him. And I hope whatever his next matchup is, whether he goes up against Strickland again for the belt or whatever, that was terrible, and he needs to step it up for the next matchup, whoever he ends up facing. All right, now let's move on to the top 10 MLB power rankings this week. We are getting closer and closer to the MLB playoffs, and we have one team, and it's very easy to guess what team that is, but one team has officially clinched a playoff spot, and that would be the number one team, you know, the number one team that they've been number one since I don't even know when. I can't remember the last time the Braves weren't number one. It was definitely many, many months ago. And that is, yes, the Atlanta Braves. They are 93-49 on the season. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And they aren't having a typical Braves week, if you will, but they did clinch a playoff berth. So that's all that matters. They did lose a series to the St. Louis Cardinals, of all teams, so that was very shocking. But then they picked it right back up and took the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they just are dominating at every way, shape, and form you possibly can. They lead the league in runs right now with 826 runs. And I mean, really, what else can you say about the Braves? They're the best team in the league, and we'll see who can actually beat them come postseason. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Baltimore Orioles, overall record of 90-52. So they are the only other team to have reached the 90 plateau mark on the season. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Los Angeles Angels and the Boston Red Sox, and they are just poised and ready to hit the playoffs as well. They haven't clinched a spot yet, but I'm expecting them to any day now. And their rookie, Gunnar Henderson, is continuing to have a great season. He's got 24 home runs on the season and 74 RBI. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Houston Astros, overall record of 82-62. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games, and they are really starting to hit their stride at the perfect time in the season. This past week, they took the series against the Texas Rangers and also the San Diego Padres. Right now, Alex Bregman is just having a great season. He's batting a .272 with 22 home runs and 93 RBI. And like I said, the Astros, they not only right now have the lead on their division, but they're just getting ready for that playoff run, because that's what they do. They always make the postseason, and we'll see where they end up. Would not be surprised to see the Astros right back in the World Series. Then at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 88-56. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Boston Red Sox and the Seattle Seahawks. And they just won't go away, even though, you know, they've had all the controversy this offseason with Wander Franco. They've had so many injuries that they've had to overcome, and yet still, here they are, one of the top teams in the American League. And then you've got Tyler Glasnow, who's really just been, you know, he was a dominating pitcher a couple seasons ago when they went to the World Series. And then he's just had to kind of battle it through the injuries these last couple of seasons. But here he is, back better than ever. He's got 8 wins on the season with a .298 ERA and 134 strikeouts. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Milwaukee Brewers, overall record of 79-63. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Pittsburgh Pirates, but then took the series against the New York Yankees. And they're just getting it done in many different ways. Right now, Contreras is a huge source of offense for them. He's been the leader of the pack basically in all hitting categories. He's batting a .281 with 15 home runs and 69 RBI on the season. Then it's number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is starting to tumble, and I'm excited about it. The Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 87-55. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series against the Miami Marlins, but then took the series against the Washington Nationals. And then, you know, Clayton Kershaw, this guy has just been having another Cy Young season with 12 wins on the year, .261 ERA, and 123 strikeouts. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 80-63. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Oakland A's and the Kansas City Royals, and they really are getting hot at the right time as well. They are trying to make the this last push for that last wild card spot, and they are peaking at the right time. Right now, Kevin Gausman, he's just been pitching out of his mind on the season. He's got 11 wins with a .328 ERA and 217 strikeouts. And then you've got Vlad Guerrero, who's having another phenomenal year as well, batting a .267 with 21 home runs and 84 RBI on the season. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Minnesota Twins, overall record of 75-68. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Mets. Carlos Correa has had an up-and-down season, but right now he is hitting his stride as well. He's batting a .230 with 18 home runs and 63 RBI on the season. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Arizona Diamondbacks, overall record of 75-69. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Colorado Rockies and the Chicago Cubs. And then you've got Corbin Carroll, who's just been having an excellent rookie year. He's obviously the shoe-in for the National League Rookie of the Year award. He's batting a .284 with 24 home runs and 69 RBI on the season. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings, the Chicago Cubs, overall record of 77-67. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the San Francisco Giants, but lost the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Cody Bellinger just having a resurgent year with batting a .318 with 25 home runs, 89 RBI, leads all categories in batting for the Cubs. And then you've got Steele here. This guy is just Steele. He's exactly like his last name says. I kind of feel like this guy is making a great, excellent run for the National League Cy Young Award winner, with 16 wins, a .249 ERA, and 159 strikeouts. So he is making it loud and clear that he's a pretty good candidate for that Cy Young Award in the National League. Now, we've got quite a few guys in the National League who are pitching great. You've got Spencer Strider with the Braves. Obviously, they're the top team in the league. And then, of course, you've got Zach Gallen, who's been probably the most consistent starting pitcher in the National League this year. And then you got Steele for the Cubs, who's also been one of the most consistent pitchers in the league. So it's going to be a really difficult decision for those voters for that National League Cy Young Award, because it's not a shoe-in for any of them, because you could really make an argument for any one of those three guys. I don't know, man. You might want to go with Steele with those numbers, but like I said, Strider is really difficult to pick against as well. And then, of course, like I said, Gallen. So it's going to be difficult to see who ends up winning that National League Cy Young Award, but you know all three of those guys would rather have the World Series over that Cy Young Award. So that's the Top 10 MLB Power Rankings for this week. Like I said, we've got Monday Night Football this tonight, so we'll see where we are on Wednesday, because, of course, this week begins where I do my NFL power ranking shows every Wednesday. I'll also discuss more of the college football rankings as well on Wednesday shows. So Wednesday shows are definitely going to be centered around football, of course. But if any breaking news happens, I, of course, will be talking about that. And then continue to do the regular Friday shows, of course. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.